Hello, welcome to the Friday, October 9th, 2015 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Brad had a diary today about yet more malicious spam. This time it claimed to be a EFEX attachment that turned out to be a Word document with macros. If you allowed macros and if you let them run, then you got infected with a password stealer in this case. And a new tool, Cloud Piercer, is attempting to figure out the real IP address of web servers protected by cloud-based services like Cloudflare that will proxy requests and can be used to filter denial of service attacks. The trick here is that if an attacker knows the real actual IP address of a server protected by such services, then it is possible to hit the server directly, bypassing some of the protections afforded by services like Cloudflare. Now, Cloud Piercer right now is implemented as a website where you can essentially enter the domain name that you would like to investigate. However, in order to do so, you first have to drop a file on the web server that you're trying to investigate or add additional DNS records, making it difficult or impossible for a stranger to investigate your website. On the other hand, the techniques that are being used by Cloud Piercer can certainly be implemented without their help. There is a paper that does illustrate some of the techniques being used by the service. They're essentially looking for other IP addresses related to the website, what they point to, or files on the server that may give away the actual IP address. The one thing that may be a little bit hard sort of for the average user to do is the IP history. Essentially, Cloud Piercer has a database where they can go back and figure out what IP addresses did this site have in the past. Not sure exactly what they're using there. Netcraft, for example, is a public service that holds information like this. According to the research paper published by this group, at least 70% of domains do have at least one origin exposing vulnerability. As a relatively simple countermeasures, affected websites could use firewall rules to block traffic from anybody but the proxy server, or they could use BGP rerouting instead of using proxy servers. However, that tends to be quite a bit more complex and expensive. And mobile payments, of course, are a very hot item these days, so no surprise that they're the focus of some of the more sophisticated attacks. LoopPay, which recently was purchased by Samsung and is a part of Samsung's mobile payment system, apparently was breached a couple months before it was acquired by Samsung. In this case, the target was not necessarily customer data, but instead proprietary information that describes how LoopPay emulates magnetic stripe cards. One of the particular features of this payment systems is that it does not just work with the newer contactless terminals, but essentially the phone is also able to emulate a magnetic card and with that work with older terminals as well. And users of Amazon's cloud services may experience one of the effects of essentially running out of IPv4 addresses. The effect being that addresses that are no longer used or released by a customer are immediately essentially reallocated to the next customer asking for an IP address. And this leads to host names that are still resolving in DNS now resolving to a new server. This, of course, could be abused by an attacker, in particular, since it's apparently very easy to request one IP address after another, and with that essentially, as this blog post puts it, go fishing for different IP addresses and with that for domains that used to be assigned to these addresses. Since a lot of larger companies also use Amazon, it is certainly possible that you will receive a name brand domain with that IP address and will then be able to intercept traffic. This was a problem that has happened before also with, for example, low-cost hosting services that did similar things. Well, essentially, Amazon is just a virtualized version of such a low-cost hosting service. And you always have to be careful that you first decommission the IP address by removing it from your DNS records and then wait sufficiently long until there is no more traffic being detected to the IP address before you grab the next one. Of course, this can also work the other way around. If you get a random IP address that used to be used, for example, for malicious purposes, or that was the target of a denial of service attack, you may then inherit this tainted reputation of this IP address. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday.